Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm giving you two sermons today. Don't be scared. One is at the back of the bulletin because I wrote it. And it's on the John passage, so you don't have to read it now, but read it when you get home. It's a very good one. And it's a lot shorter than the one I'm doing now. That has a different take on today. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Pentecost and why we celebrate it and what it all means. And it comes from the book of Exodus. You shall count 7 weeks. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put on the standing grain. Then you shall keep the festival of weeks to the Lord your God, contributing a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that you have received from the Lord your God. Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites resident in your towns, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and diligently observe these statutes. The first thing I learn about Pentecost from this reading is that God loves partying. Anytime there was a great festival, it said that God told them to do it. I think that's great. And this was a grand party. And the party was after harvest time, when the wheat harvest came in and the people would come to Jerusalem to party. And there was some very special regulations about it. The regulation was, you've got to bring along everybody. People who don't have money, you have to prepare a place for them. The widows, the orphans, the strangers. Everybody come to the party. And so at that day of Pentecost, many thousands of years ago, people were coming to a party in Jerusalem. And they say that Pentecost was an even bigger party than Passover. And so there were thousands of people in Jerusalem to party. Now, there were also some people who were in Jerusalem and they weren't there to party. They were stuck in a room and they were praying because they had no idea what God wanted of them. All they were told was after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, he said, wait in Jerusalem. So they rented a room and they waited. And while they were waiting, they were praying, not knowing and not really being in the mood to party. And that's another thing I've learned about Pentecost. God loves a party. But also, when we don't know which way to turn in our lives, there is one thing that we must do that's absolutely essential. We need to pray, because God knows where we're going even when we don't. So they prayed. And then on that day of the big party, all of a sudden the Spirit came to these disciples. And the Bible says that they started speaking in other languages. That was an attention-getting. There was so much commotion that people started to come to where the noise was. And they start gathering together and hearing these Galileans speaking in all these different languages. And you had people amazed and perplexed. And then you had the trolls. If you are on the internet, you know about trolls. Those are people who, whatever is being publicized, has to say something negative. If you're giving a political opinion, and it's a reasoned opinion, start reading the comments after the opinion. Now, some are reasonable. Some say, I might not agree with you, and here's my opinion. But then you have to get a troll that says, you're an idiot. Now, we think that lack of civility is just in this day and age. That in this day and age, people have forgotten to be polite, they've forgotten about manners, they've forgotten how to have civil discourse. Well, that's not true. It's been here forever. 2,000 years ago, there were people saying, well, what does this mean? And others saying, ah, they're drunk as skunks. Now, there must have been a lot of people saying that because it came to the ears of Peter and it prompted his first sermon. He got up and he said, I want to set the record straight. They're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Be real. So he gets up and he preaches. And the main point of his sermon is at the very end of that reading that we had today. The main point was, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you realize what the Holy Spirit did that day? God, many years before that, had said, there's going to be a festival, there's going to be a party, there's going to be harvest time, and we want you to bring people in. And God, on the day of Pentecost, said, that party, that festival, that joy is for everyone who calls on my name. It's the divine inclusion. Everyone who calls. He's opening the doors wide to all. The other thing I learned was that when the disciples were finished preaching and people came in, they didn't start praying for another Pentecost. They didn't say, wasn't that great what God did for us last week? We want it again. Now, if you read the book of Acts, what they did was everywhere the Spirit sent them, they went. And they extended the invitation. And sometimes they were accepted for it, and sometimes they were rejected. Sometimes they had to leave town really quickly after they spoke the word. But everywhere they went, they had the same invitation. Everyone is welcome. And everyone can have what we have. And the Spirit does the same thing today. We ought not to be asking for the same experiences that happened 2,000 years ago. Because God has promised His Spirit on everyone. And what we need to be doing today is figuring out where God wants us to go and then go. And so how do we do that? How do we speak the message today? Well, I think that we speak it pretty well today. And I'll give you some examples, even in this church. One woman came to me about a year ago and said, you know, this church is a wonderful place where people come, visitors come all the time. A lot of time tourists come in here while no one's in the building. How can we tell the message to people who we might not meet on a Sunday morning? And so she wrote out some lovely little messages that are in our card rack. And that's how we speak the message to people who might never sit in our pew. Another way we speak the message is every month there's a small group that sits around a table and writes out cards. And the cards are to people in extreme circumstances. Some people are suffering with cancer. Some people we don't even know. And yet we send these cards out to say that there are people in this place praying for you. How do you speak the message? When someone came to me a few years ago and said, there's a place in Milwaukee that's struggling, all I could think of is, well, we're struggling here too. And yet we wanted to reach out and we wanted to help. And that place that was struggling, Spirit of Peace, was asked by its neighborhood to keep its doors open because the neighborhood needed them so badly. And they said, we don't have a penny to our names, but we're going to keep the doors open. And so we started to help with that. And now there is a Moravian mission down there because of those seeds that were planted. Wherever the Spirit leads us, that's where we need to go. And if we don't know where the Spirit's leading, then we pray. And we work so that all may know. In my previous church, we had a huge Hispanic population near the church, and we had no idea how to reach out to them. The language barriers were enormous. The cultural barriers were enormous. We had no idea how are we going to reach out to that neighborhood. And there was a group that came to us, a group of charismatic Hispanic folks that said, we want to start a church after your church is done, could we rent your facilities? And we thought, well, this must be what God wants. We're going to open our facilities to this other church who's going to preach the gospel. And they did. And they did it so beautifully. But as you know, when two separate cultures are in one space, there can be problems. And we had this lovely little church that was being used by an enormous amount of people. And as happy as we were about that, the church started to look a little threadbare. And things weren't kept clean. And some of our good folks started to gripe. And I understand that. So we decided to have meetings of the board so that we could work out our differences. And they didn't work too well because we had a language and a cultural issue. I got along very well with the pastor, but it didn't seem to help with our lay people. So one day we had a meeting and we decided, rather than talk about our problems, let's talk about God and our relationship with God and how much we love Jesus. So we got together in little groups and we had an interpreter in each group. And we talked to each other about our personal experiences with Christ. And then by the end of it, we decided to get in a big circle and pray for each other. Now, at that time, I was hobbling with a cane and a back brace, as you remember me doing quite a few times. And my back was spasming so badly, I could barely stand up. And as we started to pray for each other, not ourselves, but each other's ministry, all of a sudden, my back went straight, and I felt the healing power of the Holy Spirit on me. And as we left that place, rather than people at odds with each other, we were together, unified, because we were doing what the Spirit of God wanted us to do. Where will the Spirit take you? It's not just in this church that we experience the Spirit of God. Where is the Spirit going to take you this week to minister, to be inclusive, to say, whoever calls on God will be saved. Whoever will may come. We embrace you in the name of Christ. Where will the Spirit take you this week? Will the Spirit take you to the bedside of someone who desperately needs some comfort? Will the Spirit of God take you to the side of someone who is struggling economically? Will the Spirit of God take you to someone who is experiencing darkness and the depths of darkness and needs the light of Christ? Where will the Spirit take you? The Spirit does not duplicate experiences, but takes us where we need to go to speak the gospel. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help us to be moved by your Spirit today in whatever form. May we be your hands extended to speak peace, to speak light in darkness, in every way that you want us to minister, Lord. We are here, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.